This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Good morning. I'm Jerry Yeager. You know, from time to time here on the show, we do a segment called How You Doing? And I check in with various people who have some connection to the show. But how are you doing? As one of our amazing listeners, how are you doing? How are you affected psychologically by this whole situation we're in right now? A lot of us hanging by the proverbial thread, I guess you'd say. From the Vancouver Anxiety Center, I'm joined by Dr. Christine Coral, who helps people with disorders, panic disorders, and anxiety. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Doing great, actually. I'm managing through this quite well.
But my understanding, though, before we widen this out, that you're not only professionally interested in people's anxiety and panic. You've come through some of this yourself.
Yes, anxiety disorders run in my family. In my 20s, I had panic attacks and. Luckily, I had a great psychologist at the University Counseling Center where I went to school who helped me with that. And I've always been a bit of a worrier, and now not so much. I don't really worry about things anymore. I've treated that. But I do have OCD, which is more of a neurological condition. So that tends to come back. I stay on top of it. But the pandemic has brought a little bit of that back, actually.
Well, that's where I want to go. Like, is the pandemic going to increase the anxiety, the panic that people generally have, or is it causing problems for people who never had trouble before all of this started?
Yes, both.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. So definitely my patients that I've been working with for some time, a lot of them have been saying, oh, thank gosh, I started therapy a year ago. Because I'm really handling this well, and they're surprised by how well they're handling it. Whereas, but there's still things that come up that sort of surprise them. And even me, you know, one of the things with my OCD, sometimes I'll want to check things, and the checking can get to be a bit much. And so I'm finding, and I haven't had OCD symptoms in quite some time, because I've been on top of it, maybe even a few years. And suddenly I want to keep using hand sanitizer and not stop. I went, oh, that's kind of interesting. So the treatment is to sort of do the opposite of what you've been doing. So anything that you do repetitively can turn into OCD. And the closest I've come to seeing something like this before is I've worked in neonatal intensive care units, and I've worked on a bone marrow transplant unit where people had to be extra careful with their hygiene to keep their loved ones or to keep themselves safe. And once they're better, or once their child is out of the NICU, having trouble stopping the constant hand washing. So they would almost develop a kind of temporary OCD as a result of everything that they had to experience. And I see that starting to happen too, not just me, but other people who are constantly washing their hands. So it's definitely a stress, you know, and the one kind of upside for some of my OCD patients is they're feeling now like their families are understanding how exhausting OCD is, because everybody is having this experience, say, of going into the grocery store and going, oh my God, I have to touch the cart handles. And if I pick up this jar of jam and decide I don't want it, can I put it back? Am I going to contaminate it for somebody else? So we're suddenly aware of all this contamination and how many decisions we have to make, just negotiating the grocery store, and how hypervigilant we have to be just going through the grocery store. It's exhausting, it's tiring, and it takes a toll, and it becomes a habit as well that may be hard to shake when all of this is over. So it's manifesting in any number of kinds of ways. It's interesting being a psychologist these days and seeing, you know, how people are adapting to this and how our brains work in these kind of stressful environments. It's taking a toll on everybody.
Dr. Christine Correll is with me, registered psychologist specializing in panic disorders and anxiety in adults and children. And so in the environment we're in now, we also have, we casually throw around this term about socially isolating, not gathering in big groups in the parks and that kind of stuff. But the social isolation, I can feel it myself. I mean, I'm lucky. I have my wife and my daughter here, and I love them, and they love me, and I've got that. But I'm missing friends and coworkers, and it's not easy.
No, you know, when I talk with some of my healthcare worker colleagues, one of the things that, you know, I hear time and time again is, I feel so lucky I've got some normalcy. You know, everybody's worried about me going into work, and there's lots of stressful things at work, but depending on the pocket that you work in healthcare, you might not be seeing as many COVID patients and experiencing that stress, but you at least get to see your colleagues. You get to go to work every day, and that does help, you know, that buffers for all of us. So being alone and not seeing other people, I think in BC, it's been good. Our public health officer, Bonnie Henry, has been really good about encouraging people to go outside. You know, in some of her briefings, she's talked about how it's good to, you know, stay 6 feet apart. And when she's gone for a run, how she's seen people on their lawns and their lawn chairs, you know, talking to each other from an appropriate distance, and how we have to do that. How important it is to go outside, breathe some fresh air, get some movement, and see other people. And that's, you know, probably one of the hardest things, I think, for people going through this and seeing a lot of people really struggling with loneliness, or if their anxiety makes it hard for them to leave the house because they're afraid of contamination or just exhausted from the hypervigilance and are isolating more than they have to. I'm seeing some problems there. So people are really struggling with that. And if you're single, you know, we know that skin hunger is a real problem, not having people touch you. We kind of need that sensory input every day. So I've been brainstorming with some of my patients about how they can do that, how they can take care of themselves when they are feeling really alone and they haven't had a hug for 2 months.
Okay, but I didn't mean to cut you off, but I only have a minute or so left here. I'm talking to Dr. Christine Correll, registered psychologist specializing in panic disorders and anxiety. Skin hunger is a term I've not heard before, but it's one that as soon as you say it, I get it. And I know listeners get it. So what do you do about that? I mean, if we get together, we're supposed to be, you know, two hockey sticks apart or something.
Yeah, you have to get creative. So, you know, even doing yoga or, you know, some exercises on the floor can be helpful. You're getting sensory input from the floor. Getting a pet, I think, is part of the reason why it's hard to get a dog or cat these days. It's been great for shelters, but that can help. They give you some sensory input if you're able to have a pet in the house. Just even giving yourself a self-massage, you know, scrubbing yourself down with a loofah, or it gives your body something. So there's different kinds of, they're not the best, but you have to do what you can to mitigate some of the damage from this experience.
Dr. Christine Correll, registered psychologist, I hope we have a chance to talk again, but I hope we're talking as things become better for us all in the future.
I hope so, too.
Well, it's good to have you. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.